بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. Continuing from last night's lecture, and I want to thank the brothers and sisters who are very patient listening to this material. And thank you for the committee at AIM allowing me to speak about these notions. Those who know me, I don't usually speak because not many audiences like to hear it. But with what I've heard about AIM and the members here and the efforts that you do, I thought maybe this is of some benefit for you. The holy verse in the Holy Quran, which reads, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا, that we have sent in every ummah, not in every family, in every ummah, we've sent a messenger. And here, messenger doesn't have to be the technical definition of a messenger. It can be broader. That will be explained at the end. And what was their slogan? Their slogan? Ani abudullah, to do ibadah of Allah, to serve Allah, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wajtanibu taghut, and to refrain from the taghut. Now, taghut can be a person, it can be a system. And whatever stops your journeying to Allah, or whatever suppresses your journey to perfection, that thing is regarded a taghuti entity. That we want to travel towards perfection, we want to travel towards acquiring proximity to Allah. Although everyone, people, animals, plants, stones, everything is moving, and everything is moving towards perfection. But with humans, everything is moving too, all everyone. Be it the pious person or the thief, they are moving towards perfection. Because moving towards perfection is something which is predestined in everyone. Our choice is in, do we want perfection in virtue or perfection in vice? When the thief wakes up in the morning and says, I want to steal from X place, that's what he believes where perfection lies in. And that's perfection, though, in vice. So they're moving backwards. We're moving towards perfection, whether we want it or not. It's not our choice. Everyone is moving towards perfection. But we want to move and be more and more perfect in virtue. That's where the battle is. And in this journey to perfection in virtue, whatever is an obstacle to our journeying towards perfection, whatever is an obstacle or suppresses you and doesn't allow you to attain to this perfection, and actually leads you to perfection in vice, that is called taghut in the Quranic terminology. That is taghut. All the prophets came saying, servitude of Allah and refrain from the taghut. Servitude of Allah is living la ilaha illallah. We have to live it. Academically, we understand it, and then it has to enter the heart. We have to have a lifestyle whereby La ilaha illallah is in control, not anything else. There are many things in a nation's lifestyle which doesn't allow you to incorporate La ilaha illallah. For example, mortgages or loans. These things which certain powers are controlling the masses by means of these loans and mortgages, these things compromise your La ilaha illallah. It compromises your tawheed. It compromises your tawakkul upon Allah. Even if it's a halal mortgage, and you'd be surprised, people calling me, for 20 years they've been paying a mortgage, and for 20 years it was only interest, haram. And their religious brothers, for 20 years they've been paying interest. For some of them, it's a second house, a third house. Now, these are haram. That interest, a fifth of it, is not yours. You have to give it to the imam. It's spending in sin. And when you say, why? Why are you doing this? They say, well, my marriage has given a get-out clause. They say it's haram unless... if you don't live in a house, the common lay Muslim would see this as belittling for someone of your socioeconomic status. Look, and what the marja is saying is correct. And the marja doesn't write these things in his risala because these are exceptions. This is word of mouth. A marja has said it more than one. And then once it spreads virally, you see millions of Muslims. Yes, this is belittling for me. I have to get a house. Look at these, the fellow British people here. Maybe they have good jobs on Fleet Street or Oxford Street or whatever, and they're renting. Why don't they say this is belittling? Why do you say it's belittling? How is it belittling for you to rent a halal rent, but getting 20 years of interest? That's not a problem. See, when you see, no. Hayhat minna adhilla, never to humiliation. Don't give me this slogan. We're all drowned in sin. Even if the mortgage or the loan was a pure halal type, even if that's the case, you're compromising your tawheed. You're compromising your tawakkul upon Allah, because whether you like it or not, you're preoccupied with this. Your reliance upon Allah is lessened. You're relying on other than Allah. In practice, you're relying upon other than Allah. Giving charity is mustahab, but asking for money, charity, is makruh. Look, the act of asking for is makruh, because it's compromising your tawheed. The lifestyle in countries like England and America, especially these two and a few countries in Europe and even in the East, but to a lesser degree, the lifestyle is an anti-la ilaha illallah lifestyle. It's very difficult to maintain practical tawheed in such countries. That's one threat. The prophets have come to teach you this. But then, وَاجْتَنَبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. This is another problem now. Because we're living under systems which, that journeying towards perfection, they don't want it. They'll do anything to stop it. Wherever there's a threat to them, they'll stop it. Yes, Allah, ilaha illallah, which isn't a threat, they know when it's not a threat. Actually, they will aid you saying La ilaha illallah in those cases. One example of this is why centers want to be part of a charity commission. Look, never to humiliation. Look at the belittling status here. A center, an Islamic center, any given Islamic center, which wants to be on the caravan of Hussein alayhi salam, they become part of a charity organization. That charity organization is Her Majesty's organization. You're bowing down to Her Majesty. Why? Because you're obeying them. Who is the charity commission? Why should they tell you what to say, what not to say? Isn't this belittling? Yes, they will give you benefits as a charity commission, but it's with a cost. The cost is your religion. The cost is you not refraining from the Taghuti system. You're helping them, and they are limiting you. What you can do, what you can't do. What you can say, what you can't say. That's a theoretical. What I'm telling you is a theoretical principle to bear in mind. But I have to add this. When a representative of a leader or a manager opens a center and they make it a charity commission, we have to obey these representatives. There may be something we don't know. According to first principles, we don't accept it. But if they are doing it, for example, if they are the leader's representative, we obey. We don't question it. They know better than us, maybe. There are some things we may not be in the picture. We can give them some statistics and facts, but maybe there's something behind the curtain. So you have to always look, I'm trying to speak in a balanced manner. But this wajtanibu taghut, if you accept what the taghut is controlling you with, in the language of the Quran, whenever you accept a taghuti instruction, thus as a result, it suppressing your journeying to perfection, in the language of the Quran, it says, you're turning back on your heels. In qalabtum ala a'ghabikum. This is a very key phrase. We need this here in this discussion today. Are you turning back on your heels when you do something in the same direction as what the taghut wants and how the taghut is limiting you, and you're going in their direction? You're turning back on your heels. This is the Quranic phrase. When you look at the Holy Quran, all the prophets, they fought against oppression. They fought against suppression. This was never compromised. It was on a par with, look, when it says, do ibadat of Allah, and then it says, refrain from taghut. The exegetes of the Quran, in verses similar to this, they do raise interesting points. Where in the Quran it says, for example, worship Allah and display benevolence to your parents. They say, look, this displaying benevolence to your parents is on a par with tawheed. And then many things emanate from this. The quickest way to Allah's proximity is through your parents. There are some tariqas based on this, although it's almost extinct these days. But there used to be these tariqas where the tariqa was based on this, that you be a slave to your mother. That's it. And the aim was for your mother. You want to do medicine, she says, graphic design, you say, okay. You want to do this, okay. You want to marry this one? She says, marry this one. You say, okay. Although, look, this is a tariqa. You need a mentor. It's not just nilly-willy anyone. To enter such a tariqa and then to find a mentor, then the mentor gives you such a permission, whether you are able or not to do such a thing. But the aim is to eliminate your ego. Whatever your mother says, unless she's asking you to sin, well, then you refrain. Now, I'm not saying for you to have this tariqa, but at least when you know it's a way to Allah, try to be as lowly as possible before your parents, wherever it's feasible. But be rest assured, if you do, your fate will be guaranteed. Whether your ego will allow you or not, that's another matter. But anyway, benevolence towards one's parents is on a par with Tawheed. The same holds here. The same holds here. Fighting against the Taghuti system is on a par with Tawheed. You can't have La ilaha illallah, but not fight. But when we fight against the Taghuti system, it's not the same as when the Marxists fight or the other non-Muslims fight against oppression. Many of the protests that we have, if you look from the outside, you can't tell that, you won't be able to tell the difference because the slogans are the same, just like the Marxist. Your protest has to be based on La ilaha illallah. This fighting against the Taghuti system, it's something which has to emanate from La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Only Allah gives me the protocol. No one else gives me a protocol. To the extent that you abide by the protocols and instructions and laws of a Taghuti system, to the same extent, your Rabb is them. It's not Allah. When the Pharaoh said, I am the Rabb, the Pharaoh believed in God. He knew what God was. But he said, I am your Rabb. He used the word Rabb, not Allah. Ayatollah Jawadi Omni said, because Rabb means someone who gives a protocol of salvation to you. Only Allah can be Rabb. And he's given his protocols in the Quran. To the degree you deviate from these protocols, and then you go under the rububiyyah, the lordship of other than Allah, look, you've contaminated yourself. It's not conceivable. Islam without fighting against Taghut, it's inconceivable. The medium through which La ilaha illallah manifests maximally is when you get rid of the Taghuti system, not enhance it. To the degree you enhance a Taghuti system, you've compromised on La ilaha illallah. You're paying taxes, for example. Part of these taxes are for hospitals. Okay, that's good. It may be for orphanages, it's okay. But a part of it is for the defense sector, a Taghuti defense sector. You know, in World War II, they killed 9 million Iranians in Iran. I don't know why this never is mentioned. This is all documented. At the time of the revolution, Iran, the population was only 25, 30 million. How can a country like Iran only have a population of 25 million? It's very little. What happened to the population? And it was in the British army. They were occupying Iran. They wouldn't let the common people, the villagers, have any access to food, even the food of animals. They wouldn't do it. This is how they control. And if they can, they'll do it again. It happened in Bangladesh too. If they can, where Islam is a threat, they'll get rid of it. If they can, they'll get rid of it. You can't do something which enhances the Taghuti system. This defense sector is killing the Yemenis, the Palestinians. It's your money too. What are you doing about it? Is this correct? Isn't this enhancing the Taghuti system? Education-wise, what are your children being taught? In what environments are you allowing your children being taught? Slowly but surely, you're losing them. Are you free to speak against many of the atrocities against Palestine? Amongst yourselves, you mention it, but can you go out to the people and really propagate it? Will they let you? Wherever there's a threat, they want to get rid of it. Look, don't get me wrong, your fellow Brit neighbors, yes, you're an ambassador for Islam, be good to them. Like them, love your neighbors. Wallahi, it's good to be good with your neighbors. No one is against that. We're talking about something else. At least be an ambassador to Islam in this other area where you fight against the Taghuti system. Otherwise, if you're silent, it's a sin. Without a doubt. So you have to compensate. If you're paying X amount for the defense sector of your taxes, if it's £1,000, you give £2,000 to a good Islamic cause. Analyze, evaluate what you're doing wrong. Yes, the manager will say you have to obey the law of the land. The manager is speaking from a fiqhi point of view. Fiqhi point of view is the letter of the law. It's a bare minimum. The manager may say you can eat a lot. Do you have to eat? You can buy many houses. It's joyous. Do you have to buy them? You can have four wives. Do you have to do it? They're giving the red lines. You have to also have a manager in the tariqa, not only in the sharia. You have to grow. You have to spiritually grow. As I said, Shimr, he was very abiding by the sharia, but he failed in the tariqa. Is this fighting against the Taghuti system is important? If you're not doing it, there's something wrong. Even these processions are of limited value. When you have something controlled and monitored by Her Majesty's police forces, what can you expect from such a procession? Why even do a procession under their control? Why don't you be active outside their control? Look, don't get me wrong. Violence has no place in Islam. This idea of killing innocent life, putting bombs and this has nothing to do with Shiism. It's always wrong. But you have to do something which hurts the Taghuti system. And it has to be something which at the same time you are growing closer to Allah. But when they are satisfied with you, what's the point? As long as you are like sheep, controlled, you're all in debt, you all have mortgages, you have these jobs, you lose your job, you lose the mortgage, you lose everything. As long as you're under their grasp, what hope is there? Imam Hussein said, those who are in debt, this is not the place for you. Go back to your families. Because you can't succeed. Those who are with me, they are the refined ones, the pure ones. This Taghuti system, we have to fight. It's something all prophets did. And they voiced their anti-oppressive stances. They always voiced it. Even when the Holy Messenger would make a treaty with the kuffar, okay, the environment was such that said, you are kafir and an enemy. We are Islam, but because of a maslaha and for the best interest, temporarily, we'll make a deal with you. Not to make a deal with Her Majesty's government in a manner that we're friends. This is polluting you. You can't be friends with such entities. You can't make a deal as a friend with them. If it's necessary, it's necessary, but you have to always say, you are in the wrong. Not to hide this enmity against the enemy. All the prophets would go against oppression. Chapter 346. وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ نَبِيٍّ قَاتَلَ مَأَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ. How much of a prophet there was that fighting with the prophet, accompanying the prophet, were godly people, a lot, abundant godly people. They would fight with the Nabi against oppression. We have to become godly, and we have to fight with the wali of our time against the Taghuti system. This is a clear instruction. I'm not exaggerating or anything. فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They never lost assurance due to what they were afflicted with. Whatever they encountered, the godly people who were with the wali of their time against oppression, they would never lose assurance. They would encounter a lot of obstacles, but they would never lose assurance. They're on the right side. This is our duty, even if it leads to our death. وَمَا دَعُفُوا. They would never weaken. وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. They would never submit. Look how much we're submitting to the Taghuti system. This paying of taxes is a form of submission. Okay, submitting with the traffic laws, that's a good thing. You have to drive properly on the streets. But what about the negative things that you're submitting to? That's not acceptable. وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. It's not acceptable. You can't submit. Once you submit, it's game over. And the Quran explains why. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. The same verse. Allah loves the patient ones. Who are the patient ones? وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. The patient ones are those who, whenever they encounter a burden, they grow and encounter it through this burden, through Tawheed. Look. These ethical values that we have, someone may be patient and may be good-tempered because of their genes, because of their hormones. They've inherited it from their parents. That's not of any spiritual value. But if you're patient, and this patient emanates from La ilaha illallah, practically. They steal your money, you say, all wealth is Allah's. It wasn't mine in the first place. Get your right back, but don't complain or groan over it. Through Tawheed, you are patient. People swear at you and disrespect you. Why? Don't get disappointed. إِنَّ الْإِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. You're struggling with some basic means to fight the Taghut. Don't give up. La ilaha illallah tells you, إِنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. No one but Allah grants you honor. No one but Allah can grant you strength. This government can't grant you honor. Don't be fooled when they give you prizes and certificates. Don't be fooled. You're being deceived. Only Allah can give it. And then you attach to these prizes and certificates and benefits. These ethical values have to come from La ilaha illallah. Some people say Islam is a religion of humanity. Look, wallahi, this is humiliating. Never to humiliation here. What do you mean a religion of humanity? Humanitarianism, even the kuffar can be humanists. Islam is a religion of humanity? How? Where did you get that from? Islam is tawheed. If we are patient, if we are just, if we are generous, if we are honorable, it's through our tawheed, not through other than tawheed. That's not a true monotheist. And then they say, that Imam Hussain said, at least if you're not brothers in religion, at least be brothers in humanity, or we're the same in creation, everything. Look, that's the lowest of the low. Imam Hussain was speaking with the enemy. He's saying, at least if you're not a Muslim, at least have that. That's the lowest level. Don't introduce Islam with the minimum. So, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Wa mastakanu, and they don't submit. Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin. Don't submit either in doctrine, and don't submit to them in action. When you give in to the taquti system, whether you want it or not, your aqa'id will change over time. And your practices will change over time. Don't submit. This is all through Quranic deduction. I'm going to explain it. Chapter 340. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, in tuti'u alladhina kafaru, yaruddukum ala aqabikum. The key phrase again. If you obey the kuffar, like here and the government, they will make you turn back on your heels. Ah, that code phrase. What did that mean? That you go backwards. Your journey to perfection will be suppressed. If you obey, well, here, when you live here, you're obeying them in many uncomfortable domains. And the result is that they will make you turn back on your heels. فَتَنْغَلِبُوا خَاسِرِينَ. They'll make you transform as losers at the end. Your fate, you'll be a loser. Some people say, let's build communities. And then maybe generations later, from what we've built in this Darul Kufr, they will benefit and Islam will thrive. And first of all, are we allowed to do something that for maybe future generations, but at the same time, neglect half of Islam? And then what guarantee is there that future generations will be true, thriving Muslim communities? Be rest assured, it will be American Islam many generations from now. Even now, it's mostly American Islam. And American Islam is where an Islam where suppression of the taghut is not highlighted. Where the suppression of the taghut is not compromised. That's American Islam. And once you are under the auspices of American Islam, they will love you. They will praise you. If you obey them, they'll make you consign to what they want and turn back to Islam. Your fate is definite. You're a loser. You're going to be a loser. These ideas of small communities building and building, we don't have it as a strategy in the Quran. Now, someone may say, well, once upon a time, in one of the imams, in one particular year, in one particular instance, the imam did something, and from that small thing, they're making a strategy for the Muslim ummah. Look, stick to the Quranic instructions here. Look, even these interfaith dialogue and everything, what's the purpose? Well, let's get to know one another. Is how high is that in the priority list? And what's the purpose of it? I'm surprised sometimes. And then they bring Imam Khomeini's name. He did it. Where did Imam Khomeini do such a thing? Whenever Imam Khomeini would interact with an Orthodox Christian, Armenian Orthodoxy, which were in Iran, whenever he would correspond with the Pope, John Paul II, the letters exist. The correspondence between the two exist. Those letters are, why are you silent in the face of oppression? Not let's get to know one another. What? This is wrong. It's a waste of time. Maybe one day, when it's true Muhammad and Islam in control, okay. It's a good idea, maybe. But not now. This energy spent on these interfaith interactions, at least I don't see the purpose. Although I'm leaving room, please. Maybe you can convince me otherwise. I'm not saying it's 0%, but I'm saying, don't get me wrong, in the hierarchy of things, this is not a priority for us right now. We have much bigger problems. And if you want to follow Imam, he would, when he's corresponded with the heads of Judaism and Christianity in Iran, and even the head of the Catholic denomination of Christianity when he was alive, and that was John Paul II, it was all in the line of fighting against Taghut. And he was questioning, why don't you do it? Why are you silent? Why are you silent? And this shows, if we are silent too, we become Christian. Why? The next verse of the Quran, look. Another verse of the Quran, look. All this is, I'm trying to follow it smoothly. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, chapter 5. La tattakhidhu al-yahuda wa an-nasara awliya. O believers, don't take Christians and Jews as your guardians. Right now you're under the guardianship of a Christian rule or a Jewish rule. Now, these are just two examples. It can be any other rule. Don't be under the guardianship of a non-Islamic rule. Ba'dhum awliya wa ba'd, some of them are guardians over the others. Now look at this phrase. Wa may yatawallahum minkum, those of you who submit to them, those guardians amongst you, those who submit to them, fa'innahu minhum, they'll be one of them. You'll be a Christian then. You'll be a Jew. What's the fate if you're one of them? Inna Allaha la yahdi al-qawm al-dhalimin. Allah won't guide the wrongdoing people. Now go through the Quran and look at this phrase that Allah doesn't guide the wrongdoing people. Here it was, you submitting under their guardianship and becoming one of them. In chapter 61, verse 7, وَمَنْ أَدْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ, those who invent kathib, like falsehood about Allah, who is more unjust than one who does this? Who invents falsehood about Allah. Look, and then it says, whilst, وَهُوَ يُدْعَى إِلَىٰ الْإِسْلَامِ, whilst they're invited to al-Islam. This is very, very important. And then it says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِ الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ, you're being invited to al-Islam. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ al-Islam. We only have one religion. It's al-Islam. From the beginning to the end, there's only one religion. We don't have two. There's no mention of Judaism in the Quran or Christianity. They speak of Jews and Christians, but Allah never acknowledges Judaism, Christianity. It doesn't exist in the Quran. We have Islam. And Nabi Musa brought Islam. Nabi Isa brought Islam. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought Islam. So this Judaism that the followers of Nabi Musa say and claim, in reality, Judaism equals Islam plus a number of distortions. It's a very delicate point, this. Just bear with me. Christianity equals Islam plus a number of distortions, a number of falsehoods. Zoroastrianism equals Islam plus a number of distortions. So a Jew is in reality following a distorted Islam. A Christian in reality is following a distorted Islam. Now me and you too, we are following a distorted Islam. When you give in to the Taghuti system, when you submit to them, when you obey them, they will make you turn back on your heels. And then your Islam will be accompanied with a number of distortions. And here's, who is more unjust than one who creates a falsity about Allah whilst they are invited to Al-Islam? Al-Islam is the true Muhammadan Islam without any distortions. But how we are living, our Islam is also distorted. And one of the reasons is because we're obeying the Taghut. It makes you one of them. When you're one of them, your Islam is distorted by default. Now, this is very clear. It's explicit in the Quran. Now, some people may say, so what are the solutions? No, I don't pretend to give any solutions here. And I'll just give you a few general principles. One of the most important solutions that you have to do is to migrate. Is to migrate from here. Now, thank you for being patient with me. I know many of you inside are a bit disappointed about all this. And I respect that. Thank you. But look at this verse now. It's in relation to the wrongdoers who are in hell. The angels see them. And when they're taking them to hell, the angels say, "Qalu fima kuntum." In what circumstances were you? Why do you have such a state? Didn't you have a warner? It's a verse in the Quran that, didn't you have a warner? Was there no one to warn you? What on earth is this state? They're inmates of hell. Qalu, they will reply, the wrongdoers, "Kunna mustad'afina fil ard." We were one of the suppressed ones. Mustad'af. Mustad'af is one whose journeying to Allah has been suppressed. You here, for example, your journeying to Allah has been suppressed. Now you may say, no, actually, we're even closer to Allah here than back home. Okay. That's a mirage you're living in. It's a mirage you're living in. Because you're not practicing true Islam. If you were to practice it, you would see, but you're, whilst invited to Al-Islam, you're rejecting Islam. You're going against its explicit instructions. this is a satanic deception that you think, oh, here's much better than back home. It's very wrong. And the reason they say it, it is traced back to their being drowned in the dunya. At the end, it's all, they're drowned in the dunya. What state is this you're in? We were one of the suppressed. As if that's it, as if that's an excuse. Look, in you've all heard of the questioning of the angels. Say, man rabbuk, who is your Lord? Man nabiyuk, ma kitabuk. You've all heard of that. These are ahadith. These are all ahadith. But all of these questions which are in the ahadith are under the umbrella of this Quranic verse. Here, you don't see them in the Quran, these ahadith. But here in the Quran, it's telling you how the angels are going to question you. This is explicit now. What are you doing? Why are you like this? Didn't you have a warner? Then we were one of the mustad'afin. And then the angels say, قالوا ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة. Wasn't the earth spacious enough for you? You had to come in this small island. This very small island. This was your safe haven? Never to humiliation. Look, it's belittling. Of all this vast, expansive earth, you had to come to the center of the Taghuti system. And then they say, well, we were escaping prosecution, we came here. Prosecution from who? Okay, so you were scared then. You were scared for your life. It's okay, confess. So you were scared. You didn't want to become shaheed. You were scared and you came here. Is it all solved now? You're now enhancing the Taghuti system. Those who you were scared from got their instructions from the Taghuti system you are paying for. Now don't fool yourself. I can't accept this idea. No, sometimes you're a collaborator for the Taghuti system. Oh, well, that's wrong. You're right to escape from there. I would too if I was a collaborator of the Taghuti system. Because now when they go and leave the country, you're not going to be treated nicely, rightfully. These collaborators, not all, most of them fought against country and religion. They were enhancing the Taghuti strategy in the East. Look, these are important. But my point is, you could have gone somewhere else. Even in Saudi Arabia, if you can go and live there, it's better than here. Look at it as a hierarchy. The Saudi government, do they do anything without Her Majesty's permission? Do they do anything without the Bidens and the Trumps? Look at it as a hierarchy. Who is on top? It's easy to say Saudi Arabia is corrupt and everything. Yes, but it's rich from you in this country. UK and America, it's problematic. Living there is problematic. I don't see, unless you compensate. But compensating is difficult. It's very difficult.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
I usually speak for 40 minutes. Sometimes a bit more, sometimes, but this time they said 1 hour and they brought the clock and put it in front of me. So I still have 6 minutes, you have to bear with me a bit. No, but salawat is good, but if it's a code for me to end, I have to go another 6 minutes. And therefore the angels say, قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً. Wasn't the earth spacious for you? فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا. for you then to migrate in. And look, the instruction to migrate is given. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ. These people, their refuge is hell. Look, the severity of the matter. Now, I'm not saying everyone to go to Iran. That's an ideal. Some say, well, we can't get citizenship. Well, okay, yes, you're right. The immigration laws in Iran, it's still backward. After 40 years, it hasn't improved. Look how in England, they have 700,000 Poles, nearly 5 million Indo-Pakistanis, 1 million Iranians. All these, they're bringing, they're working. They're working for the economy. They're working in the hospital sector. They're working in business sector. They're growing through these. But we have to bring 1 million Lebanese, 1 million Khojas, 1 million Iraqis. Let the revolution become young, thrive again. When it's only Iranians, there's problems to this. But that's another discussion altogether. But I agree. But still, if you can go to Iran, it would be very noble. Yes, you want to earn a living and you can't earn in Iran, maybe. If you can earn, there's a way of a livelihood, Iran would be ideal. But for many, that's not feasible. Yes, yes, sorry. No, it's okay.
The example that you mentioned earlier about the interest and the mortgage.
Yes.
The banking system in Iran is worse than here.
Yes.
They charge 18%.
Yes.
On the mortgage.
Yes.
And they follow.
Yes, yes, you're system. You're taking my time here. Yeah, yes, no, yes, yes.
One
yes.
Thing is that
yes.
You're advising the system that is already under control of the dollar system.
Yes.
There is no way.
Yes, yeah, yes. No, you're right. Yes, yes. No, it's a legitimate point, but the conclusion he wants to make is wrong. We have to migrate. We have to escape. The hierarchy of oppression, have that in mind. But
you run away something
that yes, yes. Yes. Yes, yes. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. What the brother is saying is correct. There's a share of truth here, but the conclusion is wrong. Oppression is oppression. Iran is led by a wali, Imam Khomeini, and he is a just leader. If you were to say, is Iran and the Islam in Iran 100%, I agree with him. We have many faults there. Is Iran, this revolution in Iran, it's still in its early days. It's very difficult. Inshallah, with the new president and everything, we'll see changes, inshallah. But I don't want to make this a political thing about Iran, but you're living under a wali there. There are many difficulties in Iran at present. He's alluded to one of them. But the idea of migration is something else here. The challenges we have in Iran with the banking system, he's mentioned, he's right. Even Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli has said it. Although the Guardian Council has for now tried to compensate with Islamic transactions, but the weakness is still there. And what he's saying is totally right. But it doesn't take away from the fact that this tyrannical government in the UK is spilling the blood of Muslims. If they can, they'll do it in Iran, in Iraq, in Lebanon, in Palestine, in Yemen. And if we live here comfortably, we are aiding in this. And you're going to be one of them. And when you're one of them, God forbid, you're going to go against the leader. You're going to go against the wali of the time. And here there are some things I can add, inshallah, in the third. I just want to finish with your permission this last 1 minute. But thank you for the comment. Oh yes, and then some people say, well, look, we were born and bred here. For example, converts. All we know is England. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't matter whether you're a convert or not a convert. When dhulm is being done, when oppression is being done, why do you want to aid it and enhance it? That's not a justification. You too have to migrate. But if not Iran, go to Iraq if you're Iraqi. Go to Pakistan. Because at least in Pakistan, with all the troubles, I'm looking at Pakistan as a lesser problem than UK and America. In Pakistan, the obstacles for you to live an Islamic life, the obstacles are less. Your journeying to perfection is not always halted. Okay, you may not get a good house, a good car, but your journeying to Allah has less obstacles. In Iraq too, it's very messy there. It has many problems. But who says you have to be involved? At least go and live in an environment where you can live an Islamic life and not be interrupted by Taghuti interferences. And this applies to all other countries, at least if not Iran. Look, it's a degree. The number of obstacles in each country, some are more, some are less. But UK and America, when Imam said, Rahmatullah alayhi, Shaitan Buzorg, yes, that's the great Shaitan. He is our Wali. We take our line from him. All the oppressions, it's all traced back to this. And then we live here under them and satisfy them and help their economy. Is that allowed? Okay. Finally, one last verse, and I'll continue from this verse, inshallah, tomorrow. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This is in line of what's the solution. The Holy Prophet is a Rasul, a messenger. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُولِ. And before him there came messengers. أَفَإِمَّاتَ أَوْ قُتِلْ إِنْ قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. The key phrase again. Look, turning back on your heels. If the Prophet dies or is killed, will you turn away? Would you turn your heels against? Turn back on your heels? Look, this is a code. If the Prophet, the Rasul, was to die, would you turn back on your heels? I.e., go the Taghuti system again? Not go through U'budillah and Wajtanibu Taghut just because the Prophet has died? Or no? Does Islam have to be enforced? Sardar once said, Islam is more important than the Prophet. Islam is Islam. If the Prophet dies, Islam has to continue. You turn back on your heels just because the Prophet has died. This is in the Battle of Uhud, but it applies today even. Okay, now from this logic, very humbly, if you don't accept it, don't panic. This is a personal observation. With the same logic, as a follower of Ghadir Khum, this verse can be rephrased in another way. Like this. وَمَا مَهْدِيٌ إِلَّا إِمَامٌ. The Mahdi is but an Imam. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الْأَئِمَّةِ. And before this Imam, there were other Imams. أَفَإِنْ غَابَ. If he was to go into occultation, إِنْ غَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. Will you turn back on your heels? Look, there are many Shias, but in the batini sense, they're Sunni. There may be many Sunnis, but in this aspect, they'll be resurrected Shia, partially at least. Now the next line, continuing from the same logic. وَمَا خُمَيْنِيٌ إِلَّا وَلِي. Khomeini was a wali, a guardian. قد خلت من قبله الأولياء. And there's always been walis before him. أفإن مات أو قتل. If he was to die, or if he was to be killed, انقلبتم على أعقابكم. Many people say yes. They're ready, they turn back on their heels. They won't accept it during the time of occultation. And this is the greatest trap in enhancing the Taghuti system. And we have to follow a wali. And there are protocols for this. There are methods for this. Inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow, inshallah. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله. Oh.